Welcome to Ray and Sports Talk. Today is Sunday, April 28th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564, or join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, or follow us on Twitter at Ray and Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
Thank you, Michelle, for the intro, and wow, what a weekend, what a week of sports. We have Mr. Trey back with us. Jonathan will probably be with us tonight, and Trey missed the draft with us. Trey, we had one great couple of shows, actually Thursday night. We did 2 hours on Weigh In Sports, three on Sunday show, and then we did 3 hours on Weigh In Sports Friday night. So, Trey, you missed out on some fun. Sorry you missed.
Yeah, I am too, buddy. Sorry I missed out on all the draft fun. Believe it or not, I was trying my best to keep up with the draft on my phone and stuff like that as it was going on, but most of the time I was playing catch-up. So good draft, man. It was a fun draft.
It was. It was a confusing draft. And, you know, what the funny thing was is you start going through the first round, everything making sense, and then all of a sudden Oakland shows up, Trey. And Buffalo shows up, and you know some of these teams start pulling some awkward moves. And I want to get to you in a minute about the. I know we have got to talk about the draft, but you know, tell me about your first round when you looked at it. Who are the winners and losers that you saw?
Well, you know, Tarvin, I'll tell you. I mean, obviously, some teams who had two picks, and it's kind of, I think, easy to judge round one if your team had two picks and say, well, they must have won. But I really liked a couple of picks that I did really, really enjoy for each team. I thought, you know, I really liked the Pittsburgh Steelers selection, Tarvin. I thought, you know, as far down as they were to get Jarvis Jones. Fido's on the loop there, Tarvin.
How do you hear that?
I can hear it, Tarvin. I think everybody can hear it.
Yeah, heard it pretty loud.
Wow, he's in the other room. Wow, good hearing, guys. You guys have dog hearing. So I'm going to mute myself just for a minute, Trey. Take over real quick, you and Jonathan. Let me go see what's going on.
Well, you know, just to kind of piggyback on what I was saying, then Jonathan, if you're with me, I really like the Pittsburgh Steelers selection of Jarvis Jones. I thought, you know, at 17, I thought that was a great pick. And a great value overall. I like the Minnesota Vikings down at 23 and 25, getting, you know, Sharif Floyd from Florida and then taking Xavier Rhodes from FSU. Man, I thought the Vikings were probably, if not the best draft. I mean, then trading back up in the first round and getting Patterson out of Tennessee. I was just really shocked with how well I thought the Vikings did, not only in the first round but all throughout. But those are the two teams to me, Jonathan, that really stood out in the first round.
Oh, yeah. Minnesota got a great value pick of Sharif Floyd, and then Xavier Rhodes, of course, is a great pick for them. Trading their second, third, fourth, and seventh for Cordell Patterson, who isn't a good route runner and has a great case of dropitis. Yeah, I think that was the mistake that Minnesota made. That's going to be a black eye on them. A team that another questionable move was the Cowboys. They drafted a center with a third-round grade in the first round. I mean, if you're upset that you missed out on your guy, don't freak out. You know, have a game plan. Maybe trade that first-round pick all the way out and get the second and third. Don't trade down and completely just try and blow it. I think the Browns screwed up with Barkevious Mingo. I'm still mad at the Dolphins for what they did. The Eagles have a great first-round pick. Lane Johnson was a great pick for the Eagles, no matter how you look at it. They needed to protect Michael Vick.
Yeah, I mean, or Nick Folk or whatever quarterback they're going to play. They drafted another quarterback in this draft.
Barkley.
Now, Barkley, that's right. Yeah, actually, that brings up a thought there, JM. Barkley's pick was horrible. I don't care when it was. That guy is not going to be a good quarterback. And I think the Eagles taking him, and they already have a crowd. They have five quarterbacks on their roster. So taking Barkley at any point, to me, made no sense whatsoever.
Well, it's better than the Jets, who now have six quarterbacks. I mean, come on, New York. Tebow, Sanchez, Matt Sims, McElroy, Garrard, and Geno Smith, who cried. The man cried because he wasn't drafted in the first round. Be a man. Suck it up. You know, Rob Gronkowski was having a party back there until he got drafted in the second round. You know, be come on now. Really? and then they go, I'm not coming back tomorrow. All right, Susie, go get your skirt on.
Well, you know, Jonathan, and when you're trying to say that, you know, hey, at least the Eagles aren't the Jets in drafting, that's not necessarily the best place to be, and the draft board is saying, hey, well, at least we didn't draft as badly as the Jets did.
Well, at least they didn't draft as badly as the Bucks. How about that? My team completely screwed the pooch. We hosed it. I'm a Broncos fan until Peyton Manning retires, guys. I'm announcing it now. Broncos fan until Peyton retires. I've given up my Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, I don't know that I agree that the Bucs did all that poorly. I mean, Jonathan, I know that I saw some of your Twitter contacts, you know, going through the draft, and you were very critical of the Bucs later on in the draft. I'm not so critical, Jonathan. I think you're sort of an overly critical fan. The Bucs did okay. I mean, they certainly didn't get any steals in the draft. They didn't lay any eggs either.
What? Well, hold on. We drafted a backup quarterback in the third round when John Jenkins is on the board. We obviously need help at D-line, and we draft a backup quarterback now. I'm overly critical because we drafted a backup quarterback? We could have gotten Tyler Bray as a free agent. I mean, we could have gotten a much better quarterback than Mike Glennon.
Glennon is terrible. He shouldn't even been drafted.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I think Glennon should have been drafted, but certainly where he got drafted was probably early. But, I mean, that's not the only pick. I mean, that's probably a fail right there from the Bucs. But overall, the draft wasn't that bad. I mean, you got cornerback help in the second round, which is something you needed. You know, that draft pick in the third round was not the best, that's for sure.
Well, and neither was William Golston, the dirtiest player in college football last year. I still remember that Michigan game where he tried to rip a guy's head off sideways and punched a lineman in the throat for helping him up. Come on. Come on. You want William Golston? You want William Golston? I don't want him. I'll trade him to the Packers for a block of cheese.
Golston's going to be a decent player, though. I mean, I'll tell you what. I'll take a guy who will do that over a guy who's not going to make your roster. Golston's an all right player. I think that's a good draft pick.
I mean, Jonathan, I don't think he's been too overcritical because I looked through their draft, and I think Mike James was a decent pickup, you know, in the sixth round, but the guy, mm-hmm. Tampa Bay sucked in this draft. But, hey, back to Barkley real quick, Trey. Mm-hmm. Looking at their offense, I mean, is Matt Barkley a dual-threat quarterback? I mean, with Chip Kelly, it looks like his most productive quarterbacks are the dual threats that can run. I mean, what's Philadelphia doing here with Matt Barkley, honestly? I just don't get that pick.
Well, I mean, like I said before, I mean, having five quarterbacks on your roster, you know, Chip Kelly's the kind of guy who kind of reinvents his offense. And so we're not sure what he's going to reinvent into the pros. But, they were having a good draft until then. I mean, Lane Johnson, Zach Ertz, Benny Logan, all were solid picks. And in the fourth round, they lead off with Matt Barkley, which doesn't make any sense when you have four other quarterbacks on the roster. So, I mean, I don't know what they're thinking there. I don't think Matt Barkley, to be honest, is gonna see the field for the Philadelphia Eagles at all.
Yeah, I was just scratching my head on that one. But let's move to the San Francisco 49ers real quick, guys. And I'm going to tell you a player, and I want you to agree. I think the steal of the draft, one of them, in the fourth round, pick 34, was San Francisco getting Marcus Lattimore. I mean, if he comes back healthy from that injury, guys, and I think he will, he'll come back. I mean, you got a steal in the fourth round, Trey.
Well, I mean, the 49ers have done very, very well drafting. If you look at the, you know, their draft the past couple years and the guys who are actually starting on the roster, it's actually one of the highest percentages. I mean, they got a bunch of good steals. I mean, Tank Carradine in the second round was a big pickup, I thought. You know, taking the D end out of Auburn in the third round, you know, I thought was a great pick. Yeah, And then when you took Lattimore, I thought that was a great pick. I thought he should have gone to Green Bay earlier in the draft to sort of back up Lacy. But I'm getting a lot of feedback, Harvey. I don't know if it's from you or Jonathan, but I thought that San Francisco had another great draft. I mean, also in the fifth round, taking, you know, Dial from Alabama, and B.J. Daniels in the seventh round, I thought was a great prospect.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just I thought they had a solid draft.
They did. They had so many picks, it seemed like. Every time you turned around, Seattle or San Francisco was drafting, you know. I mean, San Francisco toyed with everyone in this draft, and Quentin Dial in the fifth round, I mean, come on. Corey Lemonnier in the third round, he's got a lot of upside to him. And you know what? With San Francisco's defensive ends, he has time. He has a chance to learn under those guys and develop and take time. So San Francisco's using him in a great way. I mean, you got that pick from the Packers, their second and third round pick. And Vance McDonald, the tight end at Rice, I looked at his highlights, guys, and he's not too shabby.
I want to say I think the two best value picks from the draft overall, Marcus Lattimore and St. Louis, also in the fourth round getting Barrett Jones. I think those are the two best picks value-wise in this whole draft.
Yeah, Barrett Jones dropped, Trey, and he kept dropping, along with Eddie Lacy, actually. I thought Eddie Lacy could be a first-rounder, and he kept dropping. Tell me, Trey, your opinion on Lacy and Jones. Why did they drop so low?
Well, I mean, Barrett Jones, I think, is a great pick where he is. The problem is he's played so many positions, I think, in college, that I think a lot of folks were trying to figure out where he would fit into their systems. But, you know, Barrett Jones in the fourth round, I think he's going to be a starter in the NFL. You know, the one player who I think I disagreed on with a lot of folks was Eddie Lacy. I wasn't big on him in the first round. In fact, I thought there were other backs in this draft who were just as good as him. But he did take a good team. I mean, Green Bay is a great fit for Eddie Lacy, but I think if you're thinking he's going to be a breakout star next year, I don't know that I find that true. And I think Green Bay didn't think that was true either, because they took Jonathan Franklin in the fourth round, which I think for Green Bay, and I think that they're not sold either on his, you know, long-term, you know, prospects in the NFL. So I think Eddie Lacy in the second round where he went was a good place for him to go. I think it's a good value pick. I think if he'd have gone higher, Tarvin, I think they'd have been overpaying for him.
And, Trey, I was going to tell you, in the draft, when you go back and listen, I don't know what got into Jonathan that night, but, I mean, he was hitting pick after pick after pick. I still accused him of cheating, along with Cuervo. Cuervo was wondering what was going on, but Trey, I think Jonathan got over 12 picks in a row in the draft. Do you believe that?
Well, you know, why not, man? Why not? Jonathan's on it.
I'm gonna call ESPN and see if they can get Jonathan on as an analyst. The way he was tearing up that draft, Jonathan.
I thank you guys for that so much. It was just one of those nights where you get lucky, because it's not like this every year. I remember last year I think I got two picks in the first round right, and this year I wound up getting about 10. EJ Manuel.
Hold on, Jonathan. Speaking of EJ Manuel, guys, and I called that pick, and I don't know what, you know, the concussion could have been playing tricks with me, but after looking at Buffalo, what they needed, and actually the quarterback that fit the best with Buffalo, I just wasn't buying these other ones, and EJ Manuel made sense, and Trey, I picked it, I nailed it, and I think Jonathan almost had a heart attack along with Cuervo.
Well, I mean, here's the thing about EJ Manuel. I still think when Buffalo took the pick, and you know how they got the, how they came about drafting EJ Manuel was all wrong. But as in valuing him as the best quarterback in this draft, I think could be right. So it just depends on how desperate they were. Now the problem with what Buffalo did, I think, is they didn't take another quarterback later on in the draft, like in the fifth round or someone to sort of protect their investment, sort of a la what the Redskins did the year before, which I was very critical, but turns out it was a really good move. So, you know, when I thought, you know, if you're going to take that risk in the first round on EJ Manuel, and especially not waiting on EJ Manuel to take such an aggressive stance toward him, I thought what really didn't make sense to me was drafting the way they did later on in the draft. I mean, in the fifth round, taking, like, say, the safety out of Clemson, Meeks, I thought, was a mistake. When you could have taken at least one of these other quarterbacks just to make sure, in case EJ Manuel didn't work out, you had an insurance policy.
Well, Trey, you had 11 players drafted from Florida State. Now,
yes,
tell me how Florida State how does Florida State lose a game in the ACC, Trey?
that comes down to a lot of factors, I think, and a lot of people. I think game planning, coaching might be one of them.
Jimbo Fisher.
So, you know, one of the things that Florida State's going to have to build on is if you watched a lot of the prospects tweeting during the draft, I mean, there was, you know, guys who were not committed and who were very tweeting a lot about Florida State and saying, hey, man, you know, Florida State's the place to go. So, you know, Florida State dominating the draft the way they did, I think it could, you know, sort of indicate a resurgence in the Noles.
Well, here's another interesting fact. LSU had 9 defensive players drafted. That includes the Honey Badger. So 8 on their roster last year were drafted. I mean, how stellar is that?
Yeah, Bama with 9 players overall, Georgia 8, Florida 8. I mean, Trey and Jonathan, 254 players were drafted. 63 came out of the SEC. That's 25%. No other conference produced half that many. They're showing the ACC had 31 players drafted. 11 of those were Florida State players. The Pac-12 for 28, Trey. So that ought to show you who the best conference in football is, right?
Well, it shows you the dominance in the SEC for sure. I mean, it shows you the dominance towards defense. I mean, not only if you look at LSU, what they did defensively, but look at the players that came off the board for Florida defensively and look at some of the guys that came off later on, especially as the draft sort of progressed for Alabama. It was, you know, trench type of guys. It was, you know, defensive players. You know, so I think that this draft was very suited for that because the draft is very cyclical. You have, you know, certain years where it's all about, you know, the sort of the hands players, the running backs, the receivers. Well, this draft was kind of the opposite. You know, you had guys, you know, teams going out and taking multiple defensive players, really trying to sort of offset some of the offense that's been going on in the NFL. So, and this draft just seemed to be more inclined that way anyway.
Mm-hmm. Now we'll take a minute to give our call-in number, 646-716-5564. If you'd like to join us, 646-716-5564. I want to say hi in the chat room to Bruce Cowart. Cuervo's in, Couch Potatoes in the house. Guys, call in if you'd like. Get on the panel with us. But Trey, Cuervo's opinion is the Big East is the conference right now, or the Sun Belt, either one of those. Or, no, Jonathan said Sun Belt, but Cuervo said the Big East. So I don't know, man. That's a close call right there. But guys, the Honey Badger, that's the guy in this draft that I have my eyes on. I really wanted him to succeed in this draft, Trey. I wanted him to get drafted. I want another chance for this kid. So tell me, did Arizona do the right thing by getting Honey Badger, or was it actually a stretch to get him that high?
Well, I mean, the third round, I mean, you got to have value in the third round, but it's okay to risk a little bit in the third round as well. So they had a high-risk, high-reward player. Now, granted, if it doesn't work out, I mean, that's going to hurt Arizona because that's a round of need where you have to pick somebody who makes a roster and contributes. So, but, you know, it's not like they're picking him in the first round saying, okay, this guy has to start at cornerback for us next year. I mean, you can work him into nickel coverages and see what happens next year. So, to me, I liked the pick. I definitely did not like anything he said after the pick where he seemed to indicate that he was, that the world was somehow a front to him. It wasn't stuff that was caused in turn. Like, he didn't cause his own problems. So we'll see, Tarvin. I mean, this kid could smoke a lot of pot and be gone from the NFL before he plays it down. But, you know, for the Arizona Cardinals, it's an organization that kind of needed to make a move. Let's be honest. I mean, they need a lot of help in that division.
Well, let's talk about Arizona real quick, Jonathan. I mean, very impressed with their draft. I think that defense is going to be scary.
Oh, you know, I loved when they drafted Jonathan Cooper in the first round. They need an offensive lineman. He's extremely athletic. A lot of people had him over Warmack because he was more athletic than Warmack. And, you know, it was great to see Arizona make a smart pick. And then from them to draft Kevin Minter. And, you know, I was foaming at the mouth. I don't know if you remember, but I was essentially foaming at the mouth when they made that pick because I loved Kevin Minter. I loved his game against Florida. And that game had me sold, and then he kept backing it up. And you never hear from him. He's never been in trouble. And then the Honey Badger, now I know they have at least 3 LSU players on that defense now. You know, and I think Honey Badger and Peterson, they're going to get in a competition, and it's going to look good. And I mean, I think we're looking at the scariest division in the NFL over the NFC West.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. And you know, one player I want to talk about, I know Quinn might call in on this one, Trey, is Monte Teo, whatever you say his name, Teo. But, you know, I'm so glad, guys, that he didn't get drafted in that first round, because if you look, and we said it all year, Trey, when we were talking about Teo last year with the linebackers, how many more linebackers were better than Teo, Trey? How many times did we talk about this? And several were taken before him. So were you shocked to see Teo fall to the second round?
Oh, no, no. I mean, that's one of the things that I, you know, a lot of the talking heads on ESPN kept saying that he's going to take the first round. I wasn't convinced that he was going in the first round. In fact, I had him graded at a second round. But in the second round, you know, you got to start thinking, is he a good value there? And, you know, a lot of people were very, very, very fond of that pick. I still think that he could play. I don't think he's a single every down type of linebacker in the NFL. But I think at the second round, I think when you have a guy who a lot of people think are first round, I think it's a good pick. I mean, the San Diego Chargers had a pretty decent draft, actually, Tarvin. And one of the things I just wanted to say about Arizona before we left them is that pick of Andre Ellington later on in the draft was pretty good. But you know, for San Diego, who didn't have a lot of draft picks, they really need that to be a home run, because if not, I mean, they only have, you know, they only picked up six players in this draft, and San Diego is certainly a team that that needs a lot of help. So Manti Te'o has to play well for that, I mean, and actually start at least sometimes for that pick to even pan out for them.
So Jonathan Te'o was, I think, the second round was a little too high, honestly.
Well, I had him going in the first because Minnesota, Cincinnati, New York, Chicago, Baltimore, they all needed a middle line, and they all needed a linebacker. And it just, you know, I had him going in the first because he belonged there. I had him going in the first because there was a need there. And when he slipped to San Diego in the second, I thought his reaction was great, where he said, when I saw the area code, I thought somebody called me. That's fantastic. He thought he was getting punked on draft day. But, you know, I think the Chargers are taking a big risk here. The Chargers are also the same team that yesterday essentially begged LaDainian Tomlinson to come out of retirement and sign him with them. I don't know if you guys heard about that. So
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, he was in Indianapolis for the draft. And whoever the president is, Spanos called him and said, hey, come meet our GM, you know, and our new coach, Tesco and McCoy. So he's sitting there, and all of a sudden they asked him right there eating, you want to come out of retirement and play for us? We'll give you 10 to 12 carries a game. And he's like, no. I retired, and I really didn't want to, but I did. And now that I'm retired, I'm not coming back. I'm not Brett Favre. I thought the way the offensive lineman went early in the first round, you know, with Kyle Long, the former Florida State, got kicked out for academics at the Oregon, you know, I thought that was a reach. I thought Justin Peay was a reach. Of course, Travis Frederick was a reach. You know, it was definitely interesting to see how the building blocks tumbled once teams started reaching for players, and players who were graded high started dropping and just sinking. And you know, there's a lot of ticked off players. You know, like Sharif Floyd, who was projected to go, you know, top 10, and he fell all the way to 23. You know, he's going to have a good motor about him this year from Minnesota.
Yeah, definitely. And hey, guys, Quinn is on the line. I want to hear from him just one second. So, Quinn, what is up, man?
Oh, I just wanted to chime in on the Teo thing. I think he got drafted right, but I think it'll take a year or two before he really gets good. I think he needs to get a little bigger before he does much and gets a little faster. But I think he'll progress like most people think he won't. But I think he'll get better.
Well, tell me, Quinn, how his teammates are going to react to having him. I mean, is he going to be the butt of all jokes in the locker room? And if so, this guy doesn't appear to be mentally tough to me, you know, especially after after falling apart in that national championship game and all those made-up stories about the dead girlfriend. So I just wonder if he's going to be able to overcome mentally the hell that these players are going to put on him.
I don't know. He may just have to get used to it.
Well, he's going to have to, but, I mean, you know how locker rooms are, man. People, I don't care if they're your teammates or not, they're going to find someone to pick on, and right now, I mean, it's perfect. I think it's a distraction, maybe. So I hope the coaching staff at San Diego cannot be distracted and have his team distracted by Teo, because you know when he goes on the road the first time, no matter where it's going to be, that's all it's going to be about. Is Teo, just kind of like it was Tebow or, you know, Cam Newton or anybody like that. So we're going to see how tough this guy is, Quinn.
Yeah.
Well, all right, man. We appreciate you calling in, Quinn, and call back. Thanks for the opinion on Teo. Sounds like Quinn was a little depressed about Teo, guys.
Yeah. Well, I think he's also a little depressed about a Chicago Bears in their draft because it was lackluster.
Yeah, I can't remember everybody the Bears. I'm gonna try to pull it up right now, but Cuervo was doing the draft. I never heard him get too excited, guys, or Jonathan about the Bears picks.
Yeah, he, you know, and to be honest with you, I haven't talked to my grandfather yet, who, you know, is a big Bears fan. But and the reason why I didn't call him was because of that. I honestly, looking at it, I don't think he's going to be too excited. The Bears didn't make a huge splash. Now, they got it done. You got to give them credit. They got it, you know, they grabbed players that should still need. But I don't know if they got it done. They drafted, let's see, Mel Kiper gave him a C-plus grade. I mean, they grabbed Marques Wilson in the seventh round, which looks like a great value pick for them at receiver. You got Cornelius Washington at D-end, who I think would be a great pick for them, especially to learn from Julius Peppers. Kyle Long, Jordan Mills, the offensive lineman, Bostic's replacement for Lacker, Kathleen Green as an outsider. I mean, Chicago just doesn't have enough picks to make a huge difference. I mean, it's kind of like Carolina and San Diego, how they were kind of stuck in that boat as well with Washington. Give Chicago credit, though. You know, they said they needed offensive linemen, and they went out and got two. You know, they said they needed linebackers, they went out and got two. And then they grabbed two players that weren't necessarily needs, but, you know, will be needs in a couple of years and could, you know, turn out to be some really good players if taught right. So I'm very impressed with Chicago's strategy and how smart they were.
Yeah. And, guys, you know, you can't have a draft without looking at the undrafted players, Trey. And there's two players I want to get your opinion on, Trey, real quick before we move on. Tennessee quarterback Tyler Bray. I actually thought he would be drafted. And Derek Rogers, he was an old Tennessee wide receiver. I think he was playing at Tennessee Tech or something like that, I believe. Mm-hmm. But Derek Rogers is a very good receiver, Trey. Tyler Bray skipping out on his senior season. I mean, did he get some bad advice? Because, I mean, playing one more year in Tennessee, now with a new coaching staff, I mean, he could really excel and actually improve his draft stock. So who told him to leave?
I don't know. Maybe he was consulting with a Magic 8-Ball, Tarvin, because it seems like he was that sort of naive about the draft. I mean, you don't leave the draft unless you know that you're going to be not only selected for the first part, but you're going to be selected at least somewhere high. You know, if they're saying that you have a second-round grade, then you know you're going to be drafted. But, he got terrible advice from who, I don't know, Tarvin, but, you know, Bray wasn't a kid who I thought very much of anyway. When he left early, I was like, all right, well, maybe he, you know, I didn't certainly think he was the type of quarterback who could come out and be a first-rounder or a second-rounder. But, you know, so not too surprised. I mean, I was surprised that he was, you know, wasn't selected later on in the draft, Tarvin, but definitely surprised that he came out.
Yeah, the kid is a gunslinger, Trey. I mean, he's 6'6". He has a very good arm strength, but the kid does get in trouble, like Cuervo said in the chat room, and maybe teams are looking at that. But if that's the case, then why would you draft Honey Badger? You know, I mean, Tyler Bray to me will do good in the NFL. He'll get in with a team, and I think he reached a contract with the Chiefs. He will get in there, and he will play because I'm telling you, I've watched him play, and when he's on, he's on. He's a very good quarterback, but I think sometimes he's a little too arrogant, and maybe in some of the interviews he had with some of these GMs that maybe and coaches that maybe they saw that too. But Jonathan and I were talking about Derek Rogers, and I thought that was going to be a steal of the draft, Jonathan.
Yeah, and it's interesting that Rogers didn't get drafted, and Buffalo grabbed him. Buffalo grabbed him rather quickly after the draft. I was impressed by Buffalo going out and signing him. You know, and Tyler Bray signed with Kansas City, and they're saying Bray's the future of Kansas City. You know, Bray left because he got in trouble again. He's got some maturity issues. He needs to grow up. You know, he would have been suspended for his senior year. He probably would have been suspended at least a game, if not two or three, because he could stop being stupid. And Derek got kicked out of Tennessee for failing drug tests. And it wasn't like, oh, he failed one. He was like a honey badger where he failed like five. You know, great talent, but too dumb. And NFL teams look at that as if you're that stupid that you're going to keep getting in trouble in college, but you get caught and told stop it, knock it off. No, really, stop. You're going to get in trouble. We're going to kick you off. And you kept doing it. NFL teams get wary because you don't know how they're going to act now that they have money. So I understand why either one of them wasn't drafted.
Hey, Trey, if Jadeveon Clowney was in this draft, would he have been the first overall pick?
A lot of people will actually say absolutely. I mean, I think there's an absolute chance. But I think where it just really depends, I think he could have for sure. I think, a lot of us would probably think he should be. But, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs taking an offensive tackle wouldn't have been a mistake either because, they certainly are desperate for that position. But, there's no doubt he falls past two, though, Tarvin. He's a one or two for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, before we get off the draft, Trey, the Carolina Panthers, they didn't have many picks, you know, in this draft. I think they had five. Looking at their needs, do you think they – I guess give me your grade of how they did in this draft because I'm not that impressed.
Actually, I kind of like their draft. I like the first-round pick of star, whatever Latu Ha-Ha his name is. The fact that he was such a risk and people with the heart condition, I think he fell further at 14 than where he would have been. So I think he's very talented. And I actually like, in the fifth round, I thought A.J. Klein from Iowa State was a good pick. I think a lot of people were hating on that pick too. But I kind of think he's the kind of guy who could actually make their roster and actually play next year. And then I thought Kenyon Barner in the sixth round was a really good running back to take at that point too.
Yeah.
So for me, only five picks, I'm not so sold on the Purdue, short defensive tackle, and who knows what this offensive guard they took out of Valdosta State is. I don't know that guy, so I can't say anything about that. But, who knows? He could be a gem too, or he could be somebody we never hear about.
Yeah.
Picks, I thought it wasn't bad.
You know, Barner could be a game changer, Trey. On kickoff returns, punt returns, or something. He's not only just a good running back, but he's just so fast you can put him in different formations and positions. You have Cam Newton in that backfield as well, so I'm sure they're going to come up with a few tricks to use him this year. I think Barner will play immediately, guys, because when you have that much speed, you have to be on the field on offense. So Jonathan, real quick, Carolina's draft, impressed or not?
I'm not, and I'm going to tell you why. Right now, where's the cornerback? Where's the cornerback help? They needed a cornerback. I understand they had a need at D-tackle, okay? But they didn't draft a corner, and that's a huge need for them. You know, great, you stopped the run, I guess, but can you stop the pass now? And to go on Barner, my favorite quote about Barner, this whole pre-draft talk about him was they said he has a GPS to the sideline. He's afraid of contact. Doesn't like to be touched. Okay? That could be good if you don't like to be touched, because you break tackles and go to the house. No. When you are labeled with having a GPS to the sideline, get off my field and go play flag, son.
Well, he's smart. You know, that's a thing, Trey. That guy's smart. To his size, you need to get to the sideline when you're playing in the NFL. But look, guys, he was in the Pac-12, Jonathan, so it's not like they were just lighting people up.
Right. I don't know. Carolina needed cornerback help, and they missed out. I think they should have gotten Sharif instead of Star, because Sharif is a great run stopper. So, I think he had 23 tackles for a loss last year, something like that.
Yeah.
And Kawan Short. Agree. We talked about Kawan Short during the day, during the show. You know, he can be a great talent. It's the he had motor issues. No, you know, he didn't seem like he was coming every down. So hopefully that's fixed. That's solved. And because it's nice to, as a Bucs fan, it's nice to see the Bucs. I mean, it's nice to see the Panthers at least be competitive. You know, I don't know about the Saints. Forget the Saints. Forget the Falcons. But it's nice to see the Panthers at least be competitive. You know, and they come off as like a real football team, to me at least.
Guys, we have Cuervo with us right now, and I'm going to introduce Cuervo.
I'm your huckleberry.
There's Cuervo's. What's going on, Cuervo? I know it's not your normal, you know, great introduction you get on Sunday show, but hey, that's all I have for you tonight, man.
Well, you know what? Then I don't want to be on if I don't have my intro song, Brian. And just call me a pampered, you know, Blog Talk radio host. No, I'm kidding. Guys.
Sonny,
hey, how you guys doing?
Sonny has fooled you too much. Sonny has fooled you too much.
Wow, Ryan, let me.
Yeah,
he does spoil me a little bit. Not much. How are you guys doing? I'm just, you know, listening in on this awesome draft talk that's going on, breaking down who did what, who did well, who might not have done so well. Just wanted to get in on that a little bit before you guys move on.
All right, well, shoot for it. Let's go. I want to hear your expertise on this.
Well, don't ask me to pick picks because I wasn't very good at that, but I can tell you the aftermath. You're asking about Chicago. I think guys that we know for sure are going to make immediate impact, no. But at the same time, you have to at least address it. You have to at least go out there and pick guys to at least give them a shot. You know, the old regime, guys like who's the general manager that just left? Jerry Angelo before Phil Emery came in. That guy would have went with. He probably would have taken EJ Manuel in the first round if it was up to him. The guy didn't know what he was doing. The guy did not know what he was doing. He made two solid as a GM of the Bears. He made two, maybe three, solid draft picks in a matter of like 6 years. Okay, Lance Briggs, Charles Peanut Tillman, and I would say probably, I guess you can give him, yeah, Tim Jennings. Those are like the only three guys that you could really say he did a good job at drafting, because he wasn't there when Brian Urlacher came in. It was somebody else. So that was the three guys. That's it. So Phil Emery, I mean, you know, so far he's doing what he's got to do to get this Bears team where they need to be offensively. I think they did good.
Okay. Cuervo, I know you're a Tennessee Volunteer fan, and we were just talking about Tyler Bray. Tell us your thoughts about him. I know you know he's a troublemaker at times. You said that as well. But I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think he could do well. You know, it's just got to be the right situation. I think Kansas City could be. I mean, how long is Alex Smith going to be the guy in Kansas City for? This guy can step in and hopefully be the quarterback in the next 5 years for Tennessee, or for Kansas City, and go out there and you know, be the guy. So I think, you know, and you guys mentioned it earlier, it's just a maturity process for him in reality. The guy's got to, he's got to realize that this is, you know, he's in the big leagues now. He can't. There is no second chance, third chance. I mean, once you mess up, man, that's it. like you're done. So he's gotta understand that. Not just for him, but for us.
Well, Cuervo, you know, maybe he's humbled now after going in this draft and seeing that he wasn't even drafted, and maybe he has to know if he's going to be successful, he has to look in the mirror and realize the reason he wasn't drafted, it wasn't because he didn't have the tools. It was because of maybe getting in trouble and his cockiness. So maybe this is the rock bottom for him, actually, and maybe he can start moving up from here.
Yeah, I mean, and for some guys, that's what it takes. I mean, it takes, you know, I didn't even, 7 rounds and nobody picked me. There was 255 picks or however many there is, and not one of them wanted to take a chance on me. So for some people, that's what it takes for them to really open their eyes and say, damn, you know, maybe, you know, I screwed up. I screwed up in college, and if I get the opportunity, I'm not going to screw it up. That's why you see so many undrafted guys that wind up having, you know, decent careers, because they understand that, you know what, it was pretty much their last hope, and they made the best of it. So for Tyler Gray, that's the mentality he's got to have. This is his last shot.
Well, guys, I want to get your opinion, Cuervo, and I'm going to move to Trey and then Jonathan on this. You know, I know once you declare you can't go back to college, but I would like to see a rule in place to where, you know, some of these guys get bad advice from an agent or somebody, you know, gives them wrong advice, and they get out there, they leave college early, and they're like, Bray, I mean, wouldn't it be nice if Bray could get a chance to say, okay, kid, you weren't drafted, here's why. Now go back to college for your senior season and you know, then come back in the draft. I would like to see that, Cuervo. I think the world would be a little better place in football if that could happen, because these kids are gambling, and you know how manipulative, I mean, some people can be to these kids. They'll believe anything, and I just think Bray listened to the wrong voice, and it got him in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, should have taken that advice from Bruce Pearl, guys. I think that was the wrong guy to turn to for advice. Bruce Pearl's not the guy. So, but no, I mean, I think the only problem you would see with that is, you know, players would abuse that rule. They would just declare just because they think they're good enough, and then when they don't get drafted, oh, I'll just go back to college. You know, I don't know. I just have a feeling that some players might abuse that rule and just declare every year or something like that. So I think it would get out. It would get carried away and it would get out of hand. And I guess, you know, that's probably why they don't have that already.
I agree with that. Trey?
Well, I mean, here's the thing is you can't have guys hiring agents per the NCAA rules. So, I mean, if a guy really wanted to take a gamble, I mean, he could not hire an agent and see what happens, and then there's really nothing that precludes him from going back to school that I know of. So, I mean, but it's the hiring the agent that all these guys go out and do, because, you know, by hiring the agent is the one who's going to give you that money up front. They all want to wear the Rolexes and drive the cars, but, you know, so, you know, these guys oftentimes, that's the real problem there, is they start taking money.
John?
I forgot the question, to be honest with you. I got so tuned into Cuervo that I completely forgot what the question was.
Well, just actually, you know, some of these kids sometimes, like, just say, like you saw Bray, maybe he got wrong advice. And I think if you're undrafted, you should have a choice, a chance to at least get to come back to college. I mean, he signed with Kansas City, that's fine. But what if he said, I'm not pleased with this, and maybe I'm not as good as I thought. I'm going to go back my senior season in college and work this out. I think sometimes they should be able to do this.
Dwayne Jarrett actually did that. He declared, and then, like, a couple weeks after he declared, and it was past deadline, he rescinded, and NCAA said, I don't think so. And he's like, but come on, I haven't even hired an agent. And I think once you go through the draft process, it's, you know, you can't. But up until the draft, you can go back. But they made Dwayne Jarrett pay like $10,000 to come back to school. They made him donate $10,000 to a charity. I think that'd be the right way to go for the NCAA to do it. But there's a rumor mill going around, and I'm really hoping that this actually comes through. The USFL is trying to make a comeback. And part of the deal is that they would play in the spring again, you know, like they did before, but they would be a minor league system for the NFL. So if the NFL ever said, we want that player, he was supposed to be like, okay, you can have him. I think that would be the best scenario for guys to be undrafted like this.
Okay. Well, that's some good viewpoints from you guys. And if we don't have too much time left, I want to move on to the NBA real quick. We are in the playoff trade. And, you know, so far I've called two sweeps right. The Miami Heat, Pimp slapped the bus. They didn't even have to wait today. They sweep the series. And the Spurs are just kicking the crap out of the second team for the L.A. Lakers since everyone's injured for Lakers. So far that's going good. But Trey, I think you picked the Nets to beat the Bulls, right?
How about the Bulls?
Yeah. Well, Tarvin, I am definitely eating it on that pick for sure, because the Bulls, I'm still shocked that the Bulls are playing as well as they are and the Nets are playing as poorly as they are. But, you know, ultimately it doesn't matter, because whoever team wins that series loses the next round anyway. But, yeah, I will say this, Quinn, Bull fans, you know, you guys so far are playing really well, but you're very close to winning that series.
Yeah, and Cuervo's a Bull fan too, and Cuervo, I don't think you guys watched the game yesterday, but you talk about an instant classic. I haven't seen a game like that in a long time. Nate Robinson put on a show. I mean, the Bulls were down, what, 15, 16 points with just a few minutes left, I believe, and they came back. This guy's unconscious yesterday.
Oh, believe me, and no, I reminded my wife that I missed a good game yesterday, so she got an earful from me. You know, but yeah, I did. I missed the game. I'm so upset that I didn't watch it. But I'm gonna make sure to watch the hopeful, you know, clinching game tomorrow, since I don't have to work tomorrow. So yeah, I do definitely plan on watching that one. And hopefully they get it done. They finish it out.
Well, hold on, guys. Quinn's on the line real quick. A Bulls fan. Quinn, what are your thoughts on that series?
What did I tell you, Trey?
Quinn, didn't you also predict Notre Dame to win the national championship game? I'm just saying.
Oh. I actually didn't predict anything.
No, he didn't, Trey. He didn't. He's right. He didn't predict anything on that game.
All right. But, hey, Quinn, you're right. The Bulls are playing very well. Can't really argue with what the Bulls are doing right now. Leading the series 3-1. I think there's no way the Nets don't get closed out tomorrow, because the Bulls are just playing at such a good tempo. So here's my question, Quinn. Is Derrick Rose ever going to come back, or is he waiting to be 4,000%?
I don't know. My dad thinks at this point, and I kind of think at this point, he's physically ready, but in his head, he's not ready. Like, in his head, he still thinks. I think in his head, he thinks he'll get out there and he'll get into a freak accident again. I think he's physically ready. I just think he's doubting himself mentally.
Well, you're making too much money to be doubting yourself mentally. Either get out there on the court or just stay gone. I mean, Cuervo, I mean, I know your thoughts on this, but come on, man. You're supposed to be the leader of that team, but he's just killing himself when it comes to the camaraderie of a team, man. I just don't think this team will be as loving and receiving when he comes back.
No, I know. When he comes back, I'm just going to be like, oh, okay, cool. Rose is finally playing. It's not going to be – there's going to be no emotion coming out of me, I'll tell you that right now. For all those that are going to get excited about it, I feel sorry for you, because he pretty much held your emotions hostage, and you're not going to do that to me. And this is why I said it on Sports Talk with the guys. I've said it on the couch, you know, our show, that being said, and I'm going to say it right now on your show, Brian, on Way In Sports. With Derrick Rose as the number one guy, as the quote-unquote leader of the Chicago Bulls team, they will never win a championship. He's just not mentally strong enough to lead a basketball team to a title.
No, I agree with you. And Jonathan, what is this man crush you have on old Rose? Tell us about that real quick.
So if y'all were on the show Saturday, I made some interesting comments about Derrick Rose, and it's all been a nice joke. I'm a Bulls fan as well. I'm actually looking at my Chicago Bulls banner right now, and Derrick Rose just makes me sick. So I said Saturday morning that Derrick Rose can be my trophy wife, in which point I'd take him down to Tiffany's and get him a bracelet, a nice necklace, a nice ring. I'd take him to Macy's, get him a beautiful dress, maybe take him a Gucci and get him a purse. I'd take him out to a really nice dinner, pay for it, and then never call him ever again. That's how much Derrick Rose means to me right now.
Well, Trey, your thoughts?
I really don't even know what to say to that. I mean, other than extremely awkward is all I can say. And, you know, Torben, here's the thing about Derrick Rose is, you know, I think that I could challenge him to a one-on-one game, and he'd be like, nah, man, I'm not ready yet. So, I mean, I just wonder, you know, if you're talking about his mental game isn't ready, I mean, then this guy is done. I mean, let's be honest. If you're fine physically, but you're doubting yourself mentally as a guy who handles the rock as the point guard and the star of that team, you know, supposed to be one of the best players in the NBA, I mean, maybe he needs to check himself into a psychiatric hospital because, I mean, this guy, I mean, what is he worth anymore, Tarvin? I mean, is this guy going to come back next year and be any good if he has to take, two years off just to get himself mentally ready? I mean, if Adrian Peterson was on that team, he'd already be playing halfway through the season.
The thing with him, though, is he's been practicing with these guys in practice. He's been scrimmaging with these guys in practice. He just won't get himself out in a game situation and actually play in a game. He's been doing everything else, which is what I don't get.
Well, if the doctors have cleared him to play, guys, and if I'm Chicago, the doctor said, hey, he's ready physically. Well, if he's not mentally ready, he's not getting paid. He's going to sit there and not get any money. And I think if you do that to a player, I guarantee you Rose would be out there playing, whether he's mentally into it or not, and he would probably do well. But, Trey, how long are you going to pay a guy that won't come back that's medically cleared?
Well, Tarvin, you know what's really funny about this is I think we finally have, and after years and years and years of searching, we finally found the anti-Allen Iverson. Iverson never wanted to practice. And that's all Derrick Rose wants to do. So
that's a good point, man.
So maybe together we could have a really good player.
So tell me this. This is a fantasy world, Cuervo. The Bulls advance on. I mean, that's not a fantasy. They're playing the Heat. And what's the chances of Rose actually coming back and making an impact?
The same chances that I have of, you know, maybe becoming rich and hitting the lottery within the next couple of weeks, which I don't play the lottery, guys, so that's how much chance we have of Rose coming back against Miami. He's good to get manic pedicures, guys. He doesn't have time to play in the playoffs.
Playoffs?
Yeah, talking about playoffs.
Well, here's the deal, guys. A big thing happens, and, you know, this is a huge injury. Kobe was huge. I mean, that was catastrophic to the Lakers. But, you know, Oklahoma with Westbrook getting hurt, Trey, I'm just, wow, that's a huge injury for Oklahoma because this is a team that easily could win the Western Conference, and now they'll be lucky to survive the next round.
Well, I mean, this year has just been marred by the big player on what, you know, name your team being hurt. And, you know, it started with Rondo and, you know, earlier in the year in the Celtics. You know, we saw Kobe, we saw Kevin Love. I mean, just huge stars getting hurt time and time again. And then the playoffs come, Tarvin, and then we see Gallinari get hurt for, you know, Denver. And then now here it is for the Thunder. So, this, you know, David Lee for Golden State. I'm shocked at how many injuries there have been this year, Tarvin. And this just makes the road from Miami that much easier because, yeah, I don't think the Thunder makes the finals now, Tarvin. And that's really bizarre because, you know, with Westbrook and with Durant, they really looked good. I mean, they still won last night against the Rockets. But, Tarvin, there are so many good teams in the West. Without Westbrook, without a ball handler, I mean, I just don't think this team is going to be able to fight any team with a decent guard play. So I think the Thunder aren't going to get there now, Tarvin.
Well, I think the team that's the most excited in the West is San Antonio because, you know, even though San Antonio had the better, it seemed like the better record, but they didn't, at Oklahoma City. But it seemed like everybody's picking San Antonio to win, or was it picking OKC to win? I'm sorry. And all of a sudden, San Antonio looks in there now. They're the favorite, but I wouldn't, Jonathan, put San Antonio there yet. What do you think about the Golden State Warriors right now in this series? I mean, these guys look like a different team from the regular season out of the playoffs.
You know, I would love to say, yeah, Golden State can do it, but without David Lee, Golden State will have a tough time. Because David Lee was a solid rock for them. I think you know, the second round match of OKC versus the winner of the Clippers Grizzlies marathon is going to be a fantastic series. But I don't think the winner of that series is by San Antonio. I think San Antonio is too smart. Tony Parker's too good. Tim Duncan's been having a phenomenal year. I think San Antonio just dismantled LA with their defense. I think the Spurs. Nobody's ever a lock, but the Spurs have to be a clear favorite to get there now.
Yeah, I mean, now that Westbrook's out of the game, but you never know, Kevin Durant might step it up, and somebody else could step up on that just to make up for it. But I just don't see it, Cuervo. You look at the Spurs right now; they're playing solid. They just knocked off the Lakers, swept them 4-0, which is not a surprise, especially with all the injuries they had. But tell me the team, Cuervo, that can knock San Antonio out of the playoffs.
Honestly, Tarvin, we're going to get a lot of, no way. I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe I'm just buying into the hype. But you think about it, the Clippers got a good team, guys. If they can get past Memphis, honestly, there's something about the Clippers that is just like, you know, this team has what it takes. And let me tell you something about San Antonio, all right, real quick, since everybody's jumping on, you know, San Antonio and things like that. Everybody likes to talk about the Spurs and things like that. Real quick, it's something that Sonny brought up on that being said. And when you really think about it, guys, it is kind of true. You could compare the San Antonio Spurs to the New England Patriots of the NBA. And what I mean by that is they're awesome in the regular season, right? Everybody's like, that's the team to beat going into the playoffs. Come playoff time, they start out well, but then they eventually fade away. I mean, when was the last time the Spurs made it to the finals? It's been a while. So I think the problem with San Antonio is just, they just don't know, or they have trouble finishing it out, and it looks good in the regular season, like I said. However, when it comes to playoffs, San Antonio, they haven't been able to finish the job.
And I wonder why that is, Jonathan. I wonder why San Antonio has such a problem in the playoffs compared to the regular season.
I think it comes down to the fact that, you know, San Antonio, besides Parker and Duncan, and now, you know, Leonard, and Splitter can kind of be hit or miss. Danny Green is just not the player everybody thinks he is. And Manu Ginobili is now the backup point guard. San Antonio doesn't have that depth they used to have, you know, and their offense just doesn't show up every night. You know, this is a different year, though. Duncan's playing a lot better than he has the past couple years. I mean, last time San Antonio was in the finals, they swept LeBron James. So, you know, to not put it in there, you know, I mean, right after that, L.A. went on a three-year run. You know, Boston obviously won the first year, but there was a three-year run where Kobe Bryant said, no,
You know, I got this. Me and Phil got this. You know, it's just the West has become such a great conference. There's so much talent. Teams are just so much better than the East Conference that it has created a lot of parity over there. You know, compared to the East where it was Boston, you know, now it's Miami. I mean, you know, the Knicks could, you know, maybe sneak in once or, you know, once, but there's a real monopoly going on in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, yeah, definitely. LeBron James has a monopoly on that Eastern Conference right now, as long as he's healthy and Dwayne Wade's there. But, Trey, tell me about the Spurs right now. Why do you think that they struggle in the playoffs and not the regular season? Because this team is deep. They have a lot of great bench players. They're a true team, but it just seems like they're in the playoffs. These guys can't put it together.
Well, you know, I'm going to disagree that this team is not a playoff caliber team because Tim Duncan has a number of rings, last I checked. So, you know, I think that Jonathan's right. He makes a good point. I mean, you have to discount, okay, the Spurs haven't made it since 2007, which they won it. So what's happened since then? Well, the Lakers went 3 years in a row, and they won two rings. The Mavericks snuck in 2011. And then last year we all saw that it was Thunder Up time because they had Harden, Westbrook, and Durant. So that really was kind of the killer trio when it comes to, you know, the postseason last year. But this year, you don't have a lot of that gear. I mean, you got to have Tim Duncan's having an amazing resurgent year. And, in fact, it's actually San Antonio who looks the deepest right now of anybody because of injuries.
Yeah.
And I will say, I agree with Cuervo, the only team that really scares, I think, a lot of people right now is the Clippers, because if they can get past, you know, Mark Gasol and that all-defensive team in the Grizzlies, well, then the Clippers kind of have that magic to them that could be. So I think this is going to come down to Clippers-Spurs. I mean, which one of these teams is going to make it? Because the Clippers obviously are locked into one of the harder, if not the hardest, first-round opponent because the Grizzlies are so good defensively. But if they do get out of this game, Tarvin, of this series, I think the Clippers could make this run.
Well, I just want to clarify my picks real quick. The second round we're about to go into, I have the Heat over the Bulls in 4. I have the Knicks over the Pacers in 5. I have Clippers over the Thunder in 7. And I have Spurs over the Nuggets in 6. So I got lucky maybe with Westbrook going out. But, Trey, you're right. The Clippers, and I'm going to agree with Cuervo too, the Clippers have that, I don't know, just something about them that makes me see a championship contender. I mean, you have Paul at the point. Anytime you have a point guard, guys, that can do like Chris Paul, I mean, you have a shot. Then you have Blake Griffin. I mean, he's not a great shooter, but you know what? He's young. He can rebound. He can dunk. I like these Clippers guys. And if the Clippers do play the Spurs, I might change my pick, Cuervo, and actually pick the Clippers over the Spurs.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just like I told Sonny on our show, the Clippers, it's going to be tough for teams to stay with them on the court. They're so athletic and they're so fast that it's just going to be hard for some of these teams to be able to keep with them. I mean, Oklahoma City could be the team, but now they don't have Westbrook. So it's going to be CP3. I mean, he would dominate that series. And San Antonio is a little aged, as we know, and then, you know, depending on who wins between Denver and Golden State, you know, they're more of a shooting, you know, setup type team than they are fast break, fast pace. So I just think it's kind of a mismatch in favor of the Clippers, especially if they make it a fast paced game.
And Trey, I just wanted to go back to the Spurs real quick, what you said. I don't mean they're not a good team. I know Tim Duncan has rings, but I just can't get those first round losses out of my head. Who was that the year they played? They were the one seed. They lost the 8 seed, and they were expected to win it all, actually. And then last year, the way they played, I'm not just sold on this team. Duncan's having a good regular season and some good playoffs, but he's old, guys. I mean, there's only so much more he can do. Parker's getting older up there. I just think the Spurs are a deep team and everything, but when it comes to electrifying, watching a team, I think that's why they struggle in the playoffs a little bit. I think these superstars actually gear it up a little more. You know, the spotlight's on them and they play better than some of these guys. I think the Spurs, treat the regular season very serious like the Patriots do in a way, but when the playoffs come, the talent takes over. And I think that's why the Spurs struggled in the last few years. So that's what I meant, Trey.
Right. No, I understand. But, I mean, the Spurs, I think it was Memphis they lost to in the first round. But you know, a lot of this thing, especially in the West, when you have eight really good teams where the East you may have two, you do set yourself up for you know, the upset, so to speak. But, you know, I think the Spurs are different this year, Tarvin. I mean, Duncan is having a very resurgent year. And the Spurs have been resting guys all year. So where other teams right now are getting affected by the injury bug, the Spurs are actually getting healthy. And they're actually starting to play together again. So that's the difference that I see in the Spurs. And I'm not giving, you know, this conference away to anybody, because I think this is a year you could have somebody crazy come out. But I do think, especially with Westbrook's injury, it really does open up this whole Western Conference.
Yeah. And, guys, we're going to cover the playoffs more and more. We're not going to stop just after tonight, so don't worry. We'll be back on it. But for the next 5 minutes before we leave here, I want to talk a little college football. Jonathan, I don't know if you heard, but Johnny Manziel and A.J. McCarron are planning a beach vacation together.
Oh, well, good. Why do I care? Why do I – you know what? I was gonna actually talk about that. Why do I care? A.J. McCarron, baby Ryan Leaf, and Johnny Manziel, baby Gronkowski. Why do I care?
So think about it. Why it's so important, beach vacation, these two. Trey, I'll turn it to you. Why is this intriguing?
It's not, man. I agree with Jonathan. It's not intriguing to me at all.
All right, Cuervo, come on. Be a man. Tell me why this is intriguing.
Are there gamers in?
Have you seen their girlfriends?
Well, who's Manziel dating? I don't know who Manziel's dating.
Just a supermodel. But that's what I was getting at. Guys, I can't believe one of y'all didn't get it. But look, A.J. McCarron, Trey, is to me one of the most overrated quarterbacks right now. I mean, just to put him in the Heisman Trophy hunt, his name's already up there. The two hottest names in the Heisman Trophy, A.J. McCarron and Johnny Manziel. I promise you right now, neither one will sniff a Heisman Trophy.
Neither one of them will win the Heisman Trophy. I guarantee that as well, Tarvin.
Jonathan, any comment on that? Are you jumping on the A.J. McCarron bandwagon?
No, he's baby Ryan Leaf. I'm never going to jump on anybody who starts a fight with Barrett Jones at the end of a championship game when you're up 41-14 does not deserve to be talked about at all. He should be sitting in the background trying to be a good kid right now, trying to reshape his image of being a punk. I think Jadavian, you know, everybody says Teddy Bridgewater is going to be in the running for the Heisman. I don't know about that. You know, maybe Clowney, if he gives a full 100% effort and doesn't try to coast it for the draft. I think whoever wins the Heisman this year is going to be somebody that we're going to figure out who they are by week six. You know, like Johnny Manziel, who kind of, you know, shocked us with his play this year. I'm not going to make any preseason picks and honor, you know, crown these guys already. It's ridiculous that, you know, they already have a mock. There's already a mock draft out, you know, that has Teddy Bridgewater going number one and Clowney going number two.
Well, Couch in the chat room said at least he's not claiming he is a virgin. You know, like old Tebow did. But guys, you know, AJ McCarron, Trey, I'm just not sold on him. I know a lot of Alabama fans will probably send me death threats over this, but I'm just not impressed. I think he's lucky. He's a beneficiary of being on a great team with a great offensive line, a great defense, great running game. And when you have that, I mean, anybody can be a good quarterback, Trey.
Well, I mean, that's and there lies the rub for A.J. McCarron, any kind of, you know, pro talk or any kind of Heisman talk. I mean, he doesn't have to do something to actually differentiate himself from the system, and you know, I don't know that he will.
I think Greg McElroy is a better quarterback.
Oh,
wow!
That's what I think. No, I mean, when I watched him in college, when I watched him play in college, I was more fearful of him than I was McCarron, and maybe I'm wrong, but that's just my opinion when I watched the two play, but. But Cuervo, what do you think about this? Any way that either one of these win a Heisman this year?
No, I actually think Clowney would have a good chance, especially if he, you know, I mean, we almost saw the overrated Manti Te'o win it. So I think didn't he finish second? Overall voting. So, I mean, Clowney's 5 times, 10 times the player that Te'o is. So I think Clowney would have a really good chance. And it's like you said, Brian, as long as he puts in the effort this year and he doesn't just coast through the season and whatnot. But, I mean, hell, man, if that was you with a good offensive line, Brian, I would vote. I would think Brian Harvick could win Heisman.
I could, baby. I could win it, baby. And I want to talk about the spring games trade just a second. You know, between Alabama and Auburn, spring game, they had over 161,000 fans in those two. But I just thought that was very interesting, two teams getting that much. Auburn had over 83,000. Trey, is it just that the SEC fans are crazy to come out to these scrimmage games? Why is it that they have so many players? And LSU, they had about 10 people in their crowd. Tell me why some people get excited about the spring games, Trey, and some don't.
Well, I mean, here's the thing I'm going to toss at you for this, too. I mean, part of it is the SEC does have fervent fans. But part of it is, let's be honest, is there's not anything going on in Alabama in the sports world right now. other places, Tarvin, have pro sports going on. It's called NBA and it's called Major League Baseball. So now there's nothing of that going on in Alabama. And I'm from Alabama. I'm not calling this out. But what I'm saying is, Tarvin, is that when you have nothing to go to, and then an event comes about like a spring game, it is going to be a bigger deal when the state has nothing else to focus on, Tarvin. No other sporting event
you're
they can
right.
go to. It's going to be bigger.
Like Nebraska.
That's part of it.
Yeah, Nebraska was fourth on the list, guys. Nebraska.
Like
I'm going to name the top 10 real quick. And I'll start with Cuervo. I want you to tell me what jumps out at you. Number one, Auburn. 2, Alabama. 3, Tennessee. 4, Nebraska. 5, Arkansas. 6, Kentucky. 7, Texas. 8, Texas A&M, 9, Georgia, and 10, Ohio State, Cuervo. What jumps out at you on that list?
Well, considering 8 out of the 10 are SEC, and somehow Kentucky's in there. I don't know how. The only non-SEC teams I think you picked was Nebraska and Texas. Am I right?
Nebraska, Texas, and Ohio State. But look, how does Kentucky, a basketball school, get 50,831 people? I mean, did Stoops that good of a coach that he'd go out and solicit this game or advertise it? Because I was shocked to see it. I was shocked to see Auburn with 83,000. But you have to look at the trees as well. You know, the trees were coming down. More people came in. Gus Malzahn's back. But Alabama, I'm surprised at that number. I mean, it looks a little complacent to me to see Alabama that usually has 90,000 in a spring game, 78, maybe some complacency. But I'm excited to see Tennessee, Cuervo, at number 3 with 61,000. I think the fans are excited about the change.
Absolutely. I mean, I want to see what Butch Jones brings to the program. I don't know how well they did as far as recruiting. I would imagine it wasn't that well. I mean, it's a rebuilding process. You know, it's not like Alabama where they don't rebuild over there. They just reload. Same thing with LSU in Florida. It's just reloading for them. But Tennessee actually has to rebuild. And, I hope he does, some good things. And, at the same time, I think they got to give this guy a chance, though. I mean, not to say that, Dooley was the man. However, I mean, I think in 3 years we'll know whether this guy was the right guy or not.
Well, I was going to do the bottom 10, guys. The bottom 10 included 3 teams from the MAC, 2 from the Big East, 2 from Conference USA, 2 from the Sun Belt. You know, the sad thing about it, Illinois. I mean, how can you be the last and you're a Big Ten team? But, Trey, what do you mean there's nothing going on in the state of Alabama, man? There's bingo. There's bingo halls everywhere. What else? What's a casino in Montgomery close to that? What's that called, Trey?
I don't know, man. I know that you have the Montgomery Biscuits and the Birmingham Barons. That's about all I know that's there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love the Montgomery Biscuits, by the way. I'm going to go ahead and put this out on the record. I'm moving to Alabama, as I already said on the show. me and the Montgomery Biscuits are going to be close. I love me some Montgomery Biscuit games.
Yeah, I like biscuits, but I don't like the Montgomery Biscuits. But the Hustle Stars, the Birmingham Bears, I mean, Alabama, I'm glad they don't. I'm from Alabama, too. I'm in Atlanta now, but I'm glad they don't have a professional team. I think if they did, it would really take away, you know, from the college game. But you know what? If you want to go to a pro game, all you have to do is drive a couple hours. You'll be in Atlanta. You can watch that. You can drive up a little bit. You can be watching the Tennessee Titans. So I like it that Alabama, Trey, doesn't have professional sports. I think that's cool.
Well, I mean, you know, I think I would prefer to have a little professional sports there, but, you know, that's just me.
Well, guys, I want to thank y'all for coming tonight. We're going to cut the show a little short since we've done so many shows this week, and I'd like to get a good start to Monday. But Cuervo, Jonathan, Trey, and Quinn, thanks for calling in as well, and everybody listening in the chat room and listening online, and even thanks to the people in the archives. But, Jonathan, anything in closing real quick before we go?
The Stanley Cup playoffs start Tuesday. The most competitive series in the opening round will be the Bruins and the Leafs. You're going to see some hard hits, some fights, and some great games. And the Chicago Blackhawks are going to take the cup. So, I mean, if you just want to, you know, I'm going to channel my inner second round where I went 19 out of 20 and say, oh, the Blackhawks are going to win the cup.
All right, Cuervo.
Hawks. That's all I got to say.
Trey.
I think the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs apparently start next week, and they end sometime in 2015. So let's all watch that for 2.5 years. Now, Tarvin, here's what is important. We're a few weeks closer to college football and Major League Baseball going on. That's what's important.
I'm excited, man. College football's closed. The Braves are about to get swept in Detroit. You know, it's tough when you played 16 out of your last 18 on the road. The Braves will finally get back into some warm weather, and they got a couple of big series this week against the Nationals and the Mets. So the Braves are looking to come back and get past this little road skid they hit in Detroit. You know, this is only the second series they've lost all season. So we'll see how the Braves do. I still think they're struggling a little bit with the sticks. They're going to have to trade at the deadline, get them a 300 hitter, and get them some bullpen help, because I don't know if this bullpen can hold up long. But guys, thanks for the great show as always. It's been awesome. Couch Potato in the chat room, thanks for listening in. Bruce was in there earlier. Guys, have a great week at work. Don't work too hard, and we'll see you Wednesday night.
See you, buddy.
All right, guys. Bye, Tom.
See y'all.